Talking about government and politics with people you don't know well was already a risky proposition in America. Then came the 2016 election cycle and its results. And at the moment, anyway, the risk seems even greater, the rhetoric even harsher. This is familiar territory for our first guest. The Reverend Cassandra Denke is the co-founder of the Institute for Civility in Government. The name of the institute is self-explanatory. The institute works to get people to engage with other people who do not necessarily share political views, but at least share a desire to work to get things done. Cassandra Denke, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
My pleasure.
So give us a sense of how things got started. What led to you and the co-founder beginning the organization?
Well, back in the 1990s, we were leading legislative conferences for adults to Washington, D.C., and everybody always had so much fun on those trips, doing the sightseeing, sharing meals, just enjoying the city together, until they found out that they fundamentally disagreed about the issues. And then the conversation just stopped. They didn't get ugly. They just didn't know how to continue talking with one another when they passionately disagreed. And so that's when we became aware that in this country, we lack that skill set. We don't know how to stay present with one another when we fundamentally disagree. And so we tend to either walk away or else get angry, and that's just not real constructive. And so we spent some time looking for someone around the country who was doing something about this concern and couldn't find anyone, and so we launched the Institute in 1998.
Okay, so you've been at this for getting close to 20 years now then.
Yeah, we were a bit ahead of the curve, you might say. And when we began, people didn't understand why we were concerned, and civility wasn't a word that you heard a lot in the public conversation as you do now. And so someone asked us one day, well, what do you mean by civility? And we thought, well, we'll have to get back to you on that because we hadn't defined it for ourselves. And so we did come up with a definition, and we defined civility as claiming and caring for one's identity, needs, and beliefs without degrading someone else's in the process. So it's not that I have to go along with you. It's not about being wishy-washy. We say, do claim where you are. Just do it in a respectful way that doesn't degrade others.
When you talk, Cassandra, about our lack of ability to engage with each other, we either avoid it or get angry. I mean, it does seem like we start in fourth gear, particularly in more recent times. Were we always that way as Americans, or is this something we had and lost?
I think that there used to be more space for disagreement than there is now. We are definitely more polarized than we are now. It used to be that, and particularly in Washington, and this has been said by many people, back in the day, shall we say, members of Congress tended to live in D.C. It wasn't so easy to commute back and forth, and they had their families up there in D.C., and so they got to know one another as neighbors and as friends, even across the political aisle. And so there was sort of a set of expectations for doing politics and a set of expectations for the rest of life. And that has disappeared. Excuse me. That has disappeared. And now members of Congress spend their weekends back in the district. Their families live in the district. They don't know each other as they used to do. And so it's easier to speak ill or speak strongly against someone whom you do not know. That sets a tone for the rest of us in our communities. It makes it easier for us to simply dismiss someone rather than to stay engaged. And so we do tend to just dismiss one another and not even try, because it's hard to talk with someone when you disagree.
It seems like the same sort of division. I mean, the situation you're describing seems to be largely in the U.S. House, where the members do seem to get home a bit more often than they do perhaps in the U.S. Senate. Is the situation any better in the Senate, do you think?
It used to be, but I'm hearing now that it's not so much, that it has also the Senate is sort of the last stronghold of personal relationship in the midst of all this governance. But I understand that it's even beginning to crumble, which is unfortunate.
Cassandra Danke is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. The Reverend Cassandra Danke is the co-founder of the Institute for Civility in Government, ICG, if you choose. And it is, as its name implies, an effort to find places where we can talk to each other about government and about politics and not get red in the face and have the veins popping on our foreheads and all the things we seem to associate with talking about politics and government in our age. Join us on the Exchange. Your thoughts are more than welcome on this. And yes, we can do this without getting red in the face and having the veins bulge out. 800-838-3760 to come into the conversation by phone. By email, it's jx@jeffnet.org. So you mentioned the people traveling to go to Washington and really enjoyed each other's company until they found out they didn't share the same political beliefs, and they just sort of clammed up with each other. How then do you make the first steps? I mean, how do you get people who are pretty convinced that either they're going to get mad or the other person's going to get mad the second they start talking about a political topic?
Well, one of the things is you do, and of course, in this context, we had people who had invested their time and their money to go to Washington together. So basically, you sit down and say, let's make this work. Let's all take a breath. It's not the end of the world if we disagree. And that's part of what the Institute does, is we give people permission to disagree. It's a fact of life. We're not the Institute for Consensus in Government. We're not going to all have the same idea all the time. So we don't need to get so bent out of shape about it. It's a fact of life. We do things differently. We approach things differently. We experience things differently. That's okay. What we challenge people to do is to use those differences as a strength rather than as a weakness. Use it as something that we can come together and learn from one another. And that doesn't mean that because I learn from you, I'm suddenly going to agree with you, but I might expand my understanding, and rather than seeking to simply destroy you. And so we encourage those differences to be a creative feed, shall we say, for opening up potential solutions to problems. And we've got plenty of problems that need solutions. So let's focus on the problems and not on each other. Let's not get personal about it. One other thing I want to throw out here is when we say we're the Institute for Civility in Government, we define government as elected officials, staff, and constituents. So no one gets a bye here. We all have a role to play. We all have a responsibility. And so many people now, because... and not just since the 2016 election, but for years before, so many people are opting out of civic engagement because the tone of the conversation's just been so ugly and they haven't wanted to be a part of it. Well, by doing that, you're handing over the conversation to those who are speaking roughly, shall we say.
So the more strident people actually carry the day, they're the ones who get the talk then.
That's correct. That's correct. And so doing nothing is doing something. It's caving. And it's a shame that we have to organize for civility. It's a shame that we have to work so hard at it, but we do. We cannot take it for granted, and we have to work to nurture it and foster it and help it grow in our society.
Let us take a call. We have Skeeter in Eugene on the line. We're talking to the Reverend Cassandra Danke, the co-founder of the Institute for Civility in Government. Hi, Skeeter.
Hi, thank you for a very important program. My next-door neighbor and I chat about the weather and other things over the fence, but he's always wearing his Let's Make America Great Again, and he's way into Trump, and I think he's trying to push my buttons. And my strategy with him the next time we chat is to ask him, in general, what kind of world does he visualize, or what would he like for his grandchildren? And then hopefully from that, I can detect from him some common values that we might have. And then I could perhaps take some of those ideas that he has that we might have in common and help generate a platform.
So focus on the future
elections.
Yeah, focus on the future rather than
But just to focus on the positive, to try to see if we have any common ground.
Okay,
let's
see what Cassandra thinks about that approach. Thanks for that, Skeeter.
I think that's a great approach. I think asking questions is always more helpful than making statements. And I think that exploring what is still out there versus rehashing what has already been is extremely helpful. And I think this is a great approach. And kudos, kudos for taking that and for hanging in there and coming up with a way to continue a conversation that can be very meaningful for both of you.
What are some of the baby steps you might recommend in other situations? I mean, because you've certainly seen over the years people who, you know, reflexively flinch when they see the Make America Great Again hat, or they go Obama when they see the bumper sticker in somebody's car. I mean, we've seen these things happen.
Absolutely. And part of the thing to remember is that people have reasons for what they believe. And so it's important to get down past the positions to the belief systems. What is it in their past that they experienced, that they learned, that they heard, that they hoped for, that causes them to take the position that they do, no matter which side of the aisle it is? Remembering, of course, that often in this country, people are voting less for somebody than they are voting against somebody else. So don't make assumptions about the people who have a particular position on their bumper sticker. Be willing to ask the questions, and instead of making the general statements and assumptions, and understand why you yourself take your own positions. Take some time to reflect on how you got to where you are, and who influenced you, and what influenced you. Because once you have a stronger understanding of that, you'll be in a better position to understand how someone, well, they might have experienced that differently, so I see how they may have landed in a different place.
Is part of the issue, Cassandra, that people come into conversations thinking that there's an element of trying to change somebody's mind? I mean, is it rather than just try to plumb somebody and find out what it is they believe, they think they should, you know, be thundering about their own beliefs?
Oh, I think so. I think it's not just that they're trying to change somebody else's mind, but they're trying to build up their own position. And I think we need to be confident enough in ourselves and in the positions we hold to be willing to engage in conversation with others without feeling threatened by it. And I do think that simply being willing to have a conversation just to explore and learn from one another is so much more constructive than setting out to change somebody's mind. And let's face it, you don't want me to come change your mind, so why should I want you to come change mine? You know, we like the positions we have. And if we just explore and learn from one another, we may shift our positions a little bit. We may not, but we'll do it on our own, out of our own desires and wants, not because somebody else told us to.
It's not like flaming rhetoric is anything new in America. In my own lifetime, I can remember the vice president under Nixon, Spiro Agnew, going on about the nattering nabobs of negativism. It seemed like it got a bit more personal when Newt Gingrich was leading GOPAC and suggested the use of terms like sick and pathetic and traitor to describe Democrats and liberals. I mean, can you figure out a point in recent history when things began to get uglier?
Well, there have been several points in recent history when things have gotten uglier, and but again, I think we held a national conference back in the mid, it was before 2010, and we had a college professor come and gave it, he was the one who had done all the studies and had all the statistics and all the the facts to, you know, to back up the statements. So it wasn't just a gut reaction, but he said, we have been this polarized in the past. The good old days were not always the good old days, and we need to be careful about coloring them that way. But he said, the point when we were this polarized in the past was just before the Civil War.
Right.
So you can take that news however you like, but it is somewhat sobering. And I think that the Newt Gingrich definitely changed the tone back in the 90s when the Republicans took the majority for the first time in so many years. But it's not fair to point the finger at one party or the other. Both parties have had a hand in this. And both need to own up to that, and both need to be a part of the solution.
We'll take a couple more minutes here talking to Cassandra Denke, the Reverend Cassandra Denke, who is the co-founder of the Institute for Civility in Government, and it is attempting to do what its name implies, put civility back in government as defined as elected officials, staff, and constituents, so basically all of us. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org, and here's a call from Byron in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, I think this will fit right in. I used to be Brad of Ashland. I'm Byron of Ashland now. Anyway, Houston Smith was in town once, and he came up with a concept of pride that parallels her concept of civility. He says, you should be proud. You should be yourself in such a way, fully. Be yourself fully in such a way as to allow others to be themselves fully. And I always thought that, man, that goes to the heart of what it would be to live in a real democracy where people respect each other and yet are themselves. But I disagree with your guest's concept that both parties contributed to this. That's a false equivalence. And if we don't see it, it's just glaring. It was the Tea Party that came on with belligerence and with guns and with pictures of candidates with rifle scopes on them. And they've played the negativity bias in human brains marvelously. They just relentlessly ridicule everything over and over and insult and reject. So and the other party has not been that way. So we're in a context where we're really called upon to have skillful means, as she's calling for, in conversation, so that we don't activate each other. And I feel activated now against what's been happening in our society. And I'm concerned of that segue to the comment of pre-Civil War mentality.
All right, let's get
because people can get very mean on each other if it gets out of hand. And if we have humor and love with each other, then it won't get out of hand.
All right, thanks for that, Byron. Appreciate it. Cassandra, thoughts from you?
I don't know if I want to get into a debate about which party is most responsible. I did just want to make the point that there's plenty of incivility on both sides of the political aisle. I applaud the example or the definition that the caller shared about be fully yourself and allow others to be fully themselves. I don't know why we are so afraid of people who think differently than we do. I don't know what scares us about that when it is such a fact of life.
Truly. Let's get a call here from Amanda in Klamath Falls. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. Amanda, are you there?
Yes, sorry. I was just curious if you thought that having more than two parties would help this discourse, because I find that being a major issue is putting labels on everyone is really one of the reasons why we're in this situation.
All right, a binary situation where it's either or. What do you think about that, Cassandra?
Well, I used to think that more parties, more voices in the conversation would help. But my colleague, who happens to have been born and raised in South America, has pointed out to me that one of the biggest headaches for those countries that do have multiple parties is that even when someone gets elected, they are then elected by a minority of the country, and they are trying to lead you know, they have to form coalitions and such, but it becomes very difficult because most of the people in the country are against them just by sheer numbers, even though they had the most votes and, you know, won. It's the math becomes very complicated, and it makes it very difficult to govern.
Oh, sure. You got potentially minorities in charge of a country. I can see that would get complicated. I have a question here that we have about a minute and a half left, and I just want to see if we can differentiate between civility and politeness. Because, for example, you have members of Congress who use all the right words. They say, "Well, I'm going to disagree with the gentleman from so and so," and then they do things that are, well, viewed by some people as uncivil, like refusing to confirm a Supreme Court justice.
Exactly, and civility is about so much more than being polite or good manners. Civility is hard work. Civility is really leaning into a relationship in spite of deep, deep differences and hanging in there and staying present in a way that builds up rather than tears down even when you disagree.
And Cassandra, are there online functions that people can do at the Institute's website, ways they can do some civility training without having to go to Washington or something?
There is. We do have an online civility training course that's available through our website. Absolutely.
All right. And we are linked to that website at jeffexchange.org. We're talking to the Institute for Civility and Government. Cassandra Danke, the Reverend Cassandra Danke, is the co-founder of the Institute from way back in 1998. And obviously the search for civility continues. Cassandra, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me.
All right, good to talk to you.